I can start recording then. I'm going to work on, and my cat is, she does come up here usually when I'm like working on the computer. Oh no, I lost Manny. She comes up here and sits like on the computer arm. You've seen me tag her as my, supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm going to try to add something like a multi camera setup to our podcasts, starting with Breaking Geek, because I'm not on that show and I can focus more on the real time production of the show. But yeah, something to think about. You ready for today, man? We're going to talk about some San Diego Comic-Con for DC, since we kind of talked a bit about Marvel yesterday, but now Warner Brothers Discovery has given some plans, and then maybe some Ghostbusters. We'll see. Stop, cat. Welcome everybody to the daily cup of genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from, and on the Genreverse Podcast Network YouTube channel, part of the big LRM online family. So visit lrmonline.com every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. And of course, we are sponsored by the great folks over at Grow Generation. More on them a little bit later in the episode. I'm Kyle Malone at That Kyle Malone, and I'm joined once again by Manny. Go ahead and plug your Twitter.
Yeah, Manny. I'm at Manny Gomez Media on Twitter, and on Instagram I'm at riddlemethis_510.
There you guys go. Yeah, I mentioned what we were going to chat about, so let's kind of get into it. Manny, you actually wrote this first story up yesterday, and we were kind of discussing your feelings on DC and Comic-Con in our Discord, which there's a link in the description box. Join us for the conversation. So what's Warner Brothers Discovery got for San Diego so far?
So far it's kind of a really lackluster lineup compared to what we usually get from Warner Brothers in the past. And it's funny, because when I was writing this, I wrote it in a very negative like voice at first.
Yeah,
and I kind of had to go back and retool a little bit to just kind of be like, hey, this is going on. But it all comes from what we had talked about on Monday a little bit, that the fact that their home show is usually WonderCon also, and they were missing completely. And so now when you look at this lineup, I have a lot of friends who in press who when this came out were noted, you know, how a lot of all of the CW stuff is really missing as far as that lineup that we usually get. But then again, a lot of those shows now are canceled too. Like there's really no point to those press days. Those were great press days. I mean, it'd be like all of Saturday. Yeah. Sometimes just like I would go from one press room to another, and sometimes I didn't even move. They just moved the talent into the same room. And so, you know, those are going to be, I guess, shows that I'll always cherish then because of that. Meeting, you know, the cast was, you know, Supergirl, Black Lightning, The Flash, Arrow, et cetera, et cetera. And so now, I mean, like, we could start really quick with their Hall H offerings, which, come on, I'm going to be honest with you. There's going to be empty seats in that room.
Depends on what's coming up after it.
This is true. For right now, to be honest, I only see the Marvel presentation maybe being
hard to get in.
Yeah. Hall H for Warner Brothers Discovery is going to include the presentation for House of Dragon, which is the next kind of Game of Thrones offering, and which is going to debut on their streaming service on August 21st, and then as well as a video presentation and Q&A for The Sandman, as well as the final panel for the popular CW series Riverdale. I mean, putting Riverdale in Hall H
is
very interesting.
Oh, so, that's fun.
And then as far as comic book offerings, they're gonna have some really fun stuff, and I'm sure there's gonna be more. But really the some of the spotlight ones that were listed were Jim Lee and Friends, which is always great. It's always something Jace looks forward to. Any panels where you really have just conversations with creators is always fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always liked J. Michael Straczynski and Ed Brubaker whenever they did panels that I got to go to. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, those are great. And then they're going to do a spotlight just specifically on Gotham with like Ram V and other current Batman artists and creators in general. And then right now they were DC's going through the Dark Crisis event. So there's going to be a big panel for that on where that is going to go moving forward. And one that's probably going to be really fun is going to be feature the Toms of DC, which is Tom Taylor and Tom King, with some surprise guests, which I can kind of guess who they are, but based on the two of them. But that one should be really fun. Those are two of my favorite writers in comics right now, so and have been for a while. And Tom Taylor should probably be talking about that last final chapter of Deceased that he's going to be doing, which is going to be amazing. As far as video games, it's interesting because they're going to be showcasing Gotham Knights, with the making of it, as well as their new mashup video game, Multiverses. Nothing on that Suicide
Squad. Yeah, I was going to say, where's the Suicide Squad game?
Promised to us one back in 2020. So that's very kind of eyebrow raising and really interesting as far as things that are going to be missing. And then that Gotham Knights game, I don't know, I was very excited for it at first, but I think with how long as it's been taken to come out, I'm kind of just like, okay, whenever it comes out, I'll eventually get to it. Cartoon content is always fun.
I miss my son being into some of these shows.
You're not gonna go wrong with Teen Titans Go.
Nope.
Wee Baby Bears, and then also Craig of the Creek, which I actually have never seen.
That's an adorable show. You should check it out.
I've seen that one.
It's our millennials and Xers like childhoods going outdoors, still exploring big imagination type stuff. Think of Rugrats epic style like imagination, but not as 90s. It's a lot of I love it. I love it. It was a good show.
And then they're going to do a Looney Tunes presentation, which, you know, the Looney Tunes are timeless, so that should be all right. But then I think one I'd be excited for the most out of all of these will be looking at the new Gremlins,
Mogwai,
the Gremlins Secret of the Mogwai. And it's something really weird that I was like, wow, that came out of nowhere. Sesame Street Mecha Builders, which is going to be your favorite classic, the Sesame Street Muppets, turned into super-sized CGI robo superheroes in training.
My God, I see it. I brought it up on the screen for everyone. That is crazy.
I don't know who asked for that. So that's that's really, really interesting. In-ring action, I called it. AEW is going to be making their appearance at Comic-Con. They're going to be bringing quite a few of their talent. Actually, they're going to have a panel, but they're going to feature such talent as CM Punk, Jade Cargill, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, Freshly Squeezed, and Bryan Danielson. And so that's going to be pretty cool. AEW, arguably the best wrestling right now as far as, you know, content.
That's what Brian says.
This past weekend AEW they just had their Forbidden Door pay-per-view where they did a shared pay-per-view with New Japan Wrestling, and that was
fun.
The only thing really you might recognize from DC as far as is going to be they're going to have a advanced screening of season 3 of the first two episodes of Harley Quinn, and then Warner Brothers at Home Entertainment, they always have a new movie that they like to premiere at all these events, and this time it's gonna be Green Lantern, Beware of My Power. Those movies are usually pretty good, so no doubt I'll be checking that out as well.
Yeah, the animated DC universe is beloved.
But that, I mean, really, that's it. Nothing really.
No DCEU-ish stuff. No.
I will say though that for House of Dragons, they are going to be doing a Dragon's Den interactive experience. So as far as what are those things called? Again, interactive things.
Right. Exhibit, if you will.
Yeah. there's an activation. That's what they're called. Yeah. So that's going to have an activation, and I'll probably be checking that out on Thursday, before the madness. So that's going to be pretty cool. That's really it. And I've even had some people ask, hey man, like, is this even Comic-Con? Like, what is going on? And
where's the DCEU stuff? I mean, they've got other things they could be, you know, promoting. Black Adam,
mm-hmm.
and how kind of lackluster its teaser trailer was. So you would think this would be a good chance to show a full trailer for it, maybe something a little bit more cohesive, something that shows a little structure.
I think what I really wanted was a little bit of extra sauce, I guess, for this year, to kind of, for, because Comic-Con has been the spot where you do a lot of these announcements and whatever. Mm-hmm. So just kind of almost like, thank you for so many years of support, we're gonna help you out this year because we know that
it's been rough.
This has been rough, and you know, I don't feel like we're getting that. But then again, I don't even know if Warner Brothers Discovery knows how to deal with Comic-Con, right? Because it's a whole other.
There's new players in charge. Yeah. Right.
So,
I like what you're. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's really it.
I was gonna say I like your kind of thought on that there. Like, you would think that this would be one of those opportunities for all of the companies. Marvel's coming back to Hall H with big plans, it seems, and like you said, not only help out Comic-Con International, the parent company, but also help out the fans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Give them that first. I mean, that whenever someone says Comic-Con, I know everyone calls their local convention Comic-Con, but this, when you say the words, this is what you think of San Diego. And then to not give it your all does kind of feel weird, especially since as of right now, there's not even a fandom event scheduled for this year.
And it was funny, we were talking about it yesterday, and I was really, almost really quick to say, no, they're going to have another one. I've talked to people who worked on it. There's no way they're not going to do it. And then I realized, oh, wait, not owned by the same company anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I'm heading over to their website, the fandom website now, and it is all just the 2021 stuff, and then ads for HBO Max, and you're left wondering, like you said, does the new company know what they're doing? Do they care?
And not to say they're not capable of doing it. That's not what I was trying to say. What I'm trying to say is really that currently they just don't have a plan or direction.
Like, it doesn't seem
once I know that they have one, they'll be able to execute it. But for the moment, it's like, I don't know.
I mean, you got, without even touching the Flash, you know, stuff coming out within the next 18 months, if I'm not mistaken, Black Adam, Shazam 2, Aquaman 2, and then in a whole year, you know, away, the Flash. There's things to discuss, things to talk about. It's weird, man. Company mergers and changes like this. I mean, the whole entertainment landscape is changing with streaming services, and not all for the better. You know, we've seen what streaming has done to musicians and artists in the music industry, really, really forcing them to spend all their time on the road to make money, because, you know, album sales just don't exist anymore. You've seen what streaming services have done to the entertainment field. You know, we went from people licensing their stuffs to streaming for, you know, Netflix or Hulu, to all the studios wanting their own, because you can't make as much money licensing it out to someone else's subscription services. But also, when, you know, like especially for movies, as we discovered during the big part of the pandemic, six people in a household, you know, 4 to 6 people in a household going to paying, you know, $10 a person for a movie ticket makes a lot more money for a company than six people paying one subscription fee in-house, let alone password sharing. And then gaming's trying to do the same thing. That's a discussion for another day. I wonder what Discovery's doing, because they are a cable channel. Yeah, they got their streaming platform gone up, but they're brand new. You know, Discovery Plus is relatively brand new. And you got all these people that are designed for, you know, cable satellite mentality, traditional media, and then definitely not, you know, Discovery didn't, not that I know of, have a large movie studio under their belt before Warner Brothers, you know, and that's a completely different beast, especially when you start discussing international movie releases and all of that. It's going to be interesting, but at the very, very minimum, there is a bunch of stuff in the can. Hell, dude, Blue Beetle and Batgirl. Where's stuff about that?
Yeah. That's a really good question. Batgirl specific, yeah.
They've got stuff. Yeah. They've got stuff that they could push out there right mm-hmm. now. Stuff that we know's been filming. So, like, hopefully they'll come back with like a surprise announcement. Oh, by the way, from DC, EU, yeah, or you know, additional stuff. But
and then also it's interesting to mention that nothing so far on if they're even gonna have a booth, and this is something that was even happening pre pandemic. In 2019, DC did not have their DC specific booth that everybody loved. It was gone. All that they had was that big giant Warner Brothers, like they called it like a mega booth, which you know, it was what it was. So
because Warner used to set up their own, and DC always had their own. The two biggest booths in Comic-Con used to be Marvel's big area and DC's big area, or, you know, two of the largest booths, and Warner Brothers would have their own, you know, large one a little ways off.
Yeah, with the rest of the TV ones and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, no, this time it was very different. As far as fandom is concerned, we didn't really get a announcement for that until August last year. So, I mean, there's still time for it.
Yeah.
But then again, like, I'm looking I'm looking at kind of the lineup that they had then, and it was like they had a lot of stuff going for them. And I was like, oh, a lot of that stuff isn't relevant anymore. you know, because we're dead. But where's, they've done a lot of work on Shazam already. So
yeah,
maybe a surprise there. I know they're doing another Doom Patrol. So
there's stuff. Warner Brothers, I know you're listening. you guys need to do something, Warner Brothers, to Discovery. Feed the fans. They
probably, I mean, it's early. Well, no, it's not actually.
Not for Comic-Con, but for fandom it is early.
The thing is, people have like been texting me and messaging me and like, oh, you excited? I'm like, I literally don't have time to be excited right now. I'm going to show up and it's going to be what it is going to be. But if I'm as excited as previous years, no, my expectations are lowered, but that is not to say that I'm not going to have a great time.
Yeah, I know what I'm excited for. That's a segue to our sponsors, Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. From propagation to harvest, they have everything you need for your special garden. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com. Where the pros go to grow.
You gotta have corny, not transitions, segues. Gotta. It's classic classic Daily Cog. Thank you guys for sponsoring the episode. Really, really appreciate it. Link in the description box down below. Ghostbusters Afterlife was a thing. And it was a thing that you actually really, really enjoyed. You were able to enjoy it for what it is. And I've mentioned multiple times that it is well executed for a film, that it was better written than other films, say 2016's Answer the Call. But my biggest complaint was it wasn't a Ghostbusters movie. It was like kids... X-Files with Ghostbusters skin, or Stranger Things with Ghostbusters skin. That was my thing. I wanted a Ghostbusters movie. Well, it didn't happen, and despite the movie not doing as well as Sony had hoped in theaters in November of last year, they did green light. They revealed a month or so ago that there was a sequel for Afterlife codenamed Firehouse. And now we're learning that this sequel will hit in 2023. Other than Jason Reitman and Gil Kinnan coming back, Reitman directed and helped write the last movie, and Gil Kinnan writer. We'll see, man. December 20th, 2023. Let me pose it to you as a fan of Afterlife. Mm-hmm. What are you wanting from the sequel?
I'm not sure. I kind of want. I don't know. I don't know what I want from it, because the last one had a good hearty chunk of nostalgia, which was fine, and it kind of wrapped up. Kind of rubbed up that story from the previous Ghostbusters, and so I kind of want it to just be its own thing as far as like its direction. Like, yeah, build off of it, but just do something different. Like, don't get caught up in, like, I don't want to see Vigo, in other words. that's what I'm saying.
The Carpathian has to come back. He hasn't been back for two movies.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to see Vigo. I think that's really it. Other than that, I did like the cast. So just kind of maybe, I don't. That's really it. I'm not sure. I mean, just,
well, they did hint that it's, or not hint, but they hinted in the post credits. But it I guess it's been said. Deadline's got it in their article. I've got up on screen for everyone watching us on the YouTube channel. Please subscribe. It's going to return to the firehouse and New York City. Me personally, I'll give it a chance, because like I said, while the last one wasn't Ghostbusters in my mind, it wasn't like a stupid movie. It was competent enough for what they were trying to do, even though they totally screwed up in universe technology and physics and science, but whatever. I want a team element. The Afterlife had no team, none whatsoever. The team was Phoebe and Egon's ghost. That was the team. Like, the other kids are on their own little things. Sure, Podcast was by her side, but he's more of a side. He's more of a Rick Moranis character in Afterlife than he is a Dana Barrett or Janine, even, you know. He's really just a side character. I want a team element. If you're going to embrace these kids being the new Ghostbusters, especially since you do have a couple of older teenagers with Lucky, and I can't even remember the Finn Wolfhard's character's name, but you know, we're talking a couple years later. They were 16 in that movie. Make them 18 already. Make them going to college in New York. You know, screw it. Make it college New York, and let's make a team Ghostbusters movie. You still have the bare bones, and by returning to New York and looking again at the, because Ghostbusters was about these guys that did a business, you know, it was that was the comedy angle in the first one. You're watching a movie about pest exterminators, you know. I'm not saying you have to redo that in any means necessary, but you kind of got to go back to that almost absurdity to get that tone, that feeling, that Ghostbusters feel.
And you could totally piggyback off of that. Mm-hmm. These kids in college, mm-hmm. in New York, who have no way to pay their...
So they go do ghostbusting.
So they start a ghostbusting business.
It's brilliant. I love it.
And that, I love that it, absolutely. All millennials would be able to,
yeah,
really empathize with that. With this, like, yeah, they got to try to make money in any way necessary, even if that means catching ghosts. So I think that'd be fun. That aspect of it would be fun.
Yeah, there's 100% potential there. Hopefully they can grab the potential by the horns and
I want to do
something with it.
I want to hijack your segment.
Sure. What's up?
And just talk about something that really bugged me the other day.
What?
So I told you that I went to go see the Black Phone on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. Problem is, I had seen the entire movie in its trailer already.
Mm.
Nothing that happened in the movie was a surprise, because every aspect of it that was going to be relevant or important was already in the trailer.
Hmm.
So, I mean, and then...
Sony make this movie?
No, actually, this is a Blumhouse.
Universal.
This is a Blumhouse. It's a Universal movie.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the movie. Mm-hmm. The trailer is the problem here. And we had just talked about Black Adam and how this is a blockbuster, right? Mm-hmm. And then get the trailer, and it is the lamest thing that I had seen in a while, which was you know what I felt the trailer was? Hey guys,
for Black Adam?
Yeah. This is the Black Adam trailer. Hey guys, this is The Rock as a superhero. That's it. We shouldn't need to give you more.
Yeah, you guys did need to give us something.
You guys you guys are gonna go anyway, right? So this is what we got. I feel like trailers, man. And this is coming from someone who sees trailers repeatedly because I live at mm-hmm. the movie theater. It just bothers me when they have such little faith in the movie that they have to put so much into it. Perfect example. Batman v Superman would have been so much better if I didn't know Doomsday was in it.
Yeah.
but they had to add him in there as well. I mean,
far from home having MJ give the "Your Spider-Man" line in the trailer, which I thought was a poor choice.
Mm-hmm. No Way Home is the last one, right?
Sometimes.
Also, not paying attention and realizing that you've CGI'd characters out of a scene, but didn't fix the other elements, and you're like, wait a minute, there's something there.
Yeah.
And so, you know what I do appreciate is some trailers, Jurassic Park did this and I liked it, is they'll put Jurassic World, sorry, they'll put scenes that aren't in the movie, but they're just relevant to this is what you're gonna.
Marvel's done that a few times.
Marvel's done that too. Yes, you're right. And then you'll get it in a cut or something. Then you're like, oh, okay, like Jurassic World, for example. This movie is about dinosaurs, and here's the old cast. As far as what's happening, you'll figure it out during the movie. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, I feel like one of the biggest issues with Black Adam's trailer was, like I said, there was no cohesiveness. We actually needed a little something other than here's a guy that is resurrected or brought back or something in modern times, and he's really, really powerful. And there's no weight to it. There's nothing to get you hooked other than, like you said, it's the Rock as a superhero or anti-superhero, whatever you want to call it. My biggest issue with that one was how off the comedy was. Mm-hmm. You know, they have two good funny moments there. One where, you know, dude hits him with the pipe, and then the other one at the end with the catching the missile, and both of them just landed so wrong because they were just like, oh, we had action shot, dramatic shot, action shot. Oh, quick, make sure they know there's some comedy in there. But they didn't do anything with the music right. It was so floppy. That's how I can explain it.
And I think the worst part of it is that you're trying to set up that he's an anti-hero. He's a very mm-hmm. fierce character. He's it's a big deal. Black Adam is a huge threat in the DCEU, and then you really just wash it down.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like, oh, okay, so like it's just The Rock then. So it's like he's gonna be funny, but he's supposed to be doing these things that are not conducive to a superhero.
Yeah.
So what is it? What are we doing here? Like,
and you can be serious and be funny. I mean, there were moments that there were moments in the 1 second. Go see mommy, okay? Oh, yeah, grab it, bud. That's fine. My son grabbing a camera. I was gonna say there's even light moments in things like the Batman with Batman and Catwoman, you know. Yeah. There's Penguin. Oh my God, Colin Farrell as Penguin is just brilliant in that movie. So even when you've got a serious moment, you can have comedy, but they never tried to slide that comedy into the trailers of the Batman. I don't necessarily need the comedic moments for Black Adam, but they could be there in the movie. But if you are going to put them in the trailer, you need to know how to cut it appropriately. You know, Marvel does it all the time. They'll blend serious moments in, you know, Infinity War and Endgame, and then they'll manage to slide in something comedic, usually in the little, you know, stinger after the trailer or something mm-hmm. before a really serious moment comes back on screen. I'm fine with all that, but yeah, that was sloppy, and kind of, I guess I'm kind of glad I didn't watch the Black Phone trailer then, because I can watch the movie and enjoy it.
Yeah, that was my biggest problem with it was like, yeah, the movie was great. Too bad I had already seen the whole thing. Like there was no particular twist. There was no particular element of it that I didn't see coming because I had seen it in the trailer.
That sucks.
And so like, and I know you had some issues with this trailer, but they released a second trailer for Nope, which mm-hmm. Which really showcased a little bit more of what's going on. And we, my girlfriend and I had been discussing would it have
whether just or not they
been
should have.
Yeah, whether it had just been enough to just continue to have that mystery element and let me further enjoy the movie. Because if it's a Jordan Peele horror flick, the people who like these movies are going to go out. I understand that you're mm-hmm. trying to grab general audiences, so don't give me that argument. As far as in general, not you, Kyle.
Yeah,
you understand. But as far as its target audience, they're gonna go see a Jordan Peele movie. It's almost like for example, for Halloween Kills in the fall, it's sold already.
Yeah,
everybody who's gonna go see it is ready for it. But so yeah, get everyone excited for it, get everyone hyped for it, but don't start giving me elements that you don't need to. And I really wonder who sits in these offices and be like, yep, that's a great trailer, or how, you know, how much anyone's really involved in them, because it's such an important element of the movie theater experience, because you get hit with trailers, so many trailers before the movie, that you just it could honestly I feel like you could almost ruin a movie.
Yeah, no, you're right, you can absolutely possible to do it. I hate ruined surprises. I like being surprised. I don't get people. I know there's people that just don't care about surprises. I don't understand you. I don't know if I want to understand you. I don't like reading spoilers. This job, of course, comes with danger of spoilers. But, you know, in general, man, I've always really enjoyed big reveals, big good landing jokes in a theater that I wasn't expecting. Like, surprise me. I enjoy being surprised.
Yeah, I mean, just you know, you're trying to you. I guess if I don't know, I just maybe it's I'm the fact that I'm at the theater all the time and I see these over and over and over again. But mm-hmm. it's because of that I can notice certain things, and then when I go to a movie, and I still have a great time and I still am surprised, it makes me happy because I know. Well, and also being in this job, I know too much as well. So when I am surprised, when there is a twist or when it's just a really good time because I'm just kind of along for the ride, it makes me feel really, really good. Elvis, for example, is a movie like that, because even with the trailer, even knowing that Tom Hanks was going to play kind of that villainous character that was his Elvis's manager, and we all know his story, you know, just seeing it unfold and watching how uncomfortable it was, it was done really, really well, and it was separate from the trailer. The trailer really sold on, you know, Elvis, here he is, this mm-hmm. awesome brother, what he's going to look like as Elvis, and kind of a sneaky manager in the background. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was, but it was developed very, very well.
Yeah.
So I mean, just
what do you think out of the did you see both Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man as well?
Yeah, I did.
So who's got the best biopic out of the three, Elvis, Elton, or Queen and Freddie Mercury?
I refuse to answer that question because I can watch all three of them.
Oh, that's good.
I will say though that Rocket Man caught me by surprise because I did not, I'm not the biggest Elton John fan, and I mm-hmm. say that because sometimes I don't realize that I'm listening to Elton John. But that movie was great, and it was one Saturday morning where I had nothing going on. I was in bed. I turned on the TV. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And it was like, oh wow, this movie is really great.
Yeah, I liked Bohemian better as the overall movie. What was it? Rami Malek?
Rami?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. He did an amazing job as yes. Freddie Mercury, but Taron Egerton did freaking astounding as Elton. While I didn't necessarily think that movie was as well put together as Bohemian, and that's not saying it was bad in any ways, just I like Bohemian Rhapsody as a movie more, the performance from Egerton was phenomenal, as well as Malik's Freddie, but that really did catch me quite well. He really nailed it.
But yeah, there were really great performances, and Austin Butler like might as well be Elvis now in how well he did as well. What I think where Elvis stands out a little bit is that the director Baz Luhrmann, he had a specific vision for it as to, you know, great Elvis was a great, you know, the greatest show, you know, on Vegas and on Earth for a while. That's why he's the icon that he is. So he really made the movie that way. It's very artistic. And it's not just like, oh no, here's a linear story. It has a lot of moments of chaos as far as his shot selections and lighting and graphics and effects
yeah.
around it that really kind of showcased the superstardom of who Elvis was. And I think that was done really well, and it was really smart because it also kind of sets it apart from just your traditional, here's a biopic of this. Art.
Yeah,
it just kind of styled it up a little bit, and I appreciated it. So that was pretty. We really enjoyed it. Usually for picks like that, there are moments where I start to kind of like doze off just a little bit because it gets a little. I mean, it gets a little dry in the middle. Most of these do.
They can.
But it this one worked, and I did not. And that is coming right. You know, we had just came back from Oakland on a trip. And here we are sitting there watching Elvis. I was like, I am going to fall asleep. There's no way. And I did not for all two and whatever hours it was.
That's good. Well, before our audience starts dozing off on us, let's go ahead and wrap it up, guys. If you've enjoyed the deep, geeky conversations that we have here about news and random things, please do subscribe on the YouTube channel. We have a lot of other great shows, including Animeversal Reviews, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. Can you guess what those two shows talk about? And then the Cantina does Star Wars, Breaking Geek Radio, their potpourri. They cover a little bit of everything and do a movie review or show review every week, just about. And I also get the Genre Shot trailer reactions on our YouTube channel. All of the podcasts go up wherever you get podcasts from, so Google, Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, all of that good stuff, and of course LRMonline.com. Go there every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions, celebrity interviews, comic books, video games, leaks, rumors, opinions, everything, guys. Release schedules, we cover it all, so it's a one-stop shop. Podcasts, interviews, and news, all there for you guys. Social media information down below and on the end card of this video. Manny, anything else you want to say?
No, I think we're good.
All right, guys, we will see you tomorrow. Bye.